It was 2 years ago, my brothers and sisters, when I was called to be an assistant to the Council of the Twelve. Those years had brought many new challenges, many choice and wonderful experiences. Today, I should like to begin my message by expressing gratitude to my Father in Heaven, to the leaders of the Church, and to my loved ones for their confidence in me, their support and sustaining hand. We have truly been blessed exceedingly as a family. And now I have received a new assignment through the First Presidency, my brothers and sisters, to preside over the Florida South Mission. Along with this call to me, a call was issued to Sister Bennett to serve at my side as my companion and to be the supervisor of the activities of the women and children in the mission. And I should like to speak for both of us when I say that we are deeply grateful for this call, and it is our desire that we might discharge our duties and responsibilities in honor and in dignity, in accordance with the directions and instructions of the First Presidency. And I should just like to ask for an interest in the faith and prayers of all of you as we assume this new choice and challenging assignment. As I have contemplated this assignment today, I have reminded myself once again of the mission of the Church and the purpose of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Specifically, my mind has gone back to some statements made by the Savior. In the Pearl of Great Price, the Book of Moses, chapter 1, verse 39, we read, "For behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man." Now that's what it's all about, my brothers and sisters. Then in his Sermon on the Mount, the Savior said, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Now there is a very challenging challenge given to us by our Savior. My mind has then thought about how the Church and the gospel can help men and women in reaching these great objectives just referred to. And the words of President David O. McKay have come back to my mind. You remember he said, "The purpose of the gospel is to make bad men good and good men better, to change men's lives." And I have contemplated the day-to-day operations of the Church and how individuals are living out their lives, and the performance of the members in the stakes, wards, and missions as they are revealed in the stake activity reports, genealogical reports, missionary reports, and so on. And I realize, my brothers and sisters, that while the Church has accomplished a great deal, and the members of the Church have and are accomplishing much, there is much, much room for improvement, much more that needs to be done. It has been my privilege to tour a number of the full-time missions. And as I have done so, I have become keenly aware of two great needs that should receive attention if we are to raise performance in missionary work, both at home and abroad. Now, these needs can be stated briefly as follows. In the first place, the members of the Church everywhere need to remind themselves that the gospel is to be preached and taught by example, not just by word of mouth. And the lives of all Church members should be shining examples of the gospel of Jesus Christ in action. As members of the Church, it is our responsibility to assist the members in finding investigators, locating individuals to whom the gospel can be taught by the missionaries at the stake level and the full-time level. And I should just like to emphasize that the missionary program needs the help of all of us, all members of the church, both young and old. And I thought of the words of that song that we sing so often. It's found on page 58 of our LDS hymn book. There are chances for work all around just now. Opportunities right in our way. Do not let them pass by saying, sometime I'll try, but go and do something today. 'Tis noble of man to work and to give. Love's labor has merit alone. Only he who does something is worthy to live. The world has no use for the drone. Then wake up and do something more than dream of your mansions above. Doing good is a pleasure, a joy beyond measure, a blessing of duty and love. Now, next time you sing that, my brothers and sisters, will you think about missionary work in its broad sense? Doing it by example as well as by precept. There are opportunities all around and about us. To illustrate that, I should like to share with you a few personal experiences I've had over the years that bear this out, which have strengthened my own testimony, enriched my life, and helped me to explain the gospel to others. The question, what is the main obstacle to success in stake missionary work, was asked by President S. Dilworth Young of a group of stake missionaries in the East Cache Stake some years ago when I was serving in the stake presidency of that great stake. A lady missionary's prompt reply was, quote, the failure of too many Latter-day Saints to live the gospel as Latter-day Saints should. Now, as I have attended stake conferences in many different parts of the world, I have observed that this statement applies to other stakes in the church, not just to East Cache Stake. We can and ought to do something to change this situation. We can change it by letting our lives be shining examples of the gospel of Jesus Christ in action. During World War II, while serving with the 31st Infantry Division in the Dutch East Indies, I was placed in command of a patrol that was charged with the responsibility of searching out and destroying enemy supply bases. As we proceeded on one particular patrol behind the enemy lines, a native dog fell in with our group, and try as we would, we couldn't get that dog to leave. I became concerned about this, but later on, its alertness caused us to be suspicious, the point where we took extra precautions as we proceeded on to lower ground after coming to a fork in the trail. Therefore, when the enemy opened fire very shortly thereafter, we were not caught completely by surprise. Four men were wounded in the initial burst of fire, but not a single man lost his life. We were able to evacuate the wounded and to withdraw to the rear and a very heavy machine gun and rifle fire without losing a single man. Now, that humbled me a great deal. Sergeant Leslie E. Milam from Natchitoches, Louisiana, the only other Mormon in our patrol, sought me out after we got to the rear. And he told me that he had been contacted by Sergeant Dabbs, my platoon guide, who said that he was aware that Sergeant Milam and I had been meeting on Sundays whenever conditions would permit in a little religious meeting. He says, I've been greatly humbled by the experience we've had out there when we were ambushed. and I'd like to meet with you two men the next time you get together. I, too, would like to express my thanks and gratitude to my Father in heaven for delivering us from the enemy's clutches, so to speak. He did meet with us, and he was just as sincere as we were in expressing gratitude to our Father in heaven for his protection and watching care. This experience opened the door for some excellent gospel discussions with Sergeant Dabbs thereafter. Shortly after this ambush, Private Collins, who went through the ambush with us, sought me out one night after dark and said, "Lieutenant Bennett, I think we really had some help out there the other day when we were ambushed." And I said, "Well, I don't know just how you feel about it inside, Collins, or how the other boys feel, but as far as I'm personally concerned, I know we did." And then he said, "And I know we did, Lieutenant." He said, "You know, I've been a rough character in my day. There are very few things that I shouldn't have done that I haven't done. But," he said, "I just want to tell you that after that experience out there, I'm a changed man, and my life will be changed." I thought about that many times, and thereafter, Sergeant Milam and I had the opportunity to have some additional choice gospel discussions with Collins. Just prior to going overseas during World War II, while we were on maneuvers in the Louisiana-Texas area, my platoon sergeant, Sergeant Tiffin, came to me during a 10-minute break on one occasion, and he said, "Lieutenant, you know and I know that we will be going overseas in the very near future. And you know and I know that if that happens, it won't be long until we will be in combat. And you know and I know that if that should happen, some of us will be required to take the lives of some of the enemy. Now," he says, "that's bothering me, Lieutenant Bennett. I can't bring myself to that. I've been taught in my church that if I should take the life of one or more of the enemy, that I will be held accountable for the blood of that man or those men, even though I may be a victim of circumstance." Then he said, "I know that you are a member of the Mormon Church. What does your church teach you?" What an excellent opportunity to share with him the counsel and instruction given to LDS servicemen by the First Presidency in World War II. It was a part of the servicemen's kit. And similar instructions are found in the servicemen's kits that are given to our servicemen today when they go into military service. Well, one evening while on board ship, returning to the United States from Yokohama, Japan, I had the opportunity to talk to a fellow officer from Worland, Wyoming. He was not a Mormon. But I got talking to him one night about the Book of Mormon. We had a lengthy and rather involved discussion. Now, there were some men up on the bunks all around and about us. The next morning, after we'd had this discussion, one of those men came to me and he said, "Lieutenant Bennett, where can I get hold of a copy of that Book of Mormon that you referred to last night in your discussion with Lieutenant Worland?" I said, "I'll just be happy to send you a copy as soon as I get back to the United States." And I did. And I'm sure that he read it. We made arrangements for his name to be funneled through channels so that he would be contacted by the missionaries. Well, now I could go on, my brothers and sisters, at length and give you many choice experiences that I've had. I cannot do that. The time is up. But I want to bear you my testimony, my brothers and sisters. I know that the gospel is true. Some of the most choice experiences I've had in life and other of my acquaintances have had have been associated with missionary work. We can do it at home and abroad. May we all catch the missionary spirit and be a member of the missionary team, I humbly pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.